To God be the glory. And we are so thankful for all that God has done for us. And I certainly never want to leave out thanking Him and being thankful for the great things He's done for us. I tell you, I'm just amazed and blessed to have the family that I have and to go up and spend a couple of days with them, not only with the Crawford family, but the Ryan family, my wife's parents, and what a blessing that is to be able to fellowship with them. And most of ours, and there's not without problems, of course, but most of ours are very pleasant to hang out with and a lot of fun. And it just really is tremendous. And what a blessing to have all the food. And I know that I like to talk about food, and it's for a reason. I was raised that way. Many of you have met my dad. My dad's in better shape than I am, and it's just amazing. And to see the camaraderie and the family and the fellowship is so great, and to see our family growing, and what a blessing that is to see the Crawford family as it grows. And I think my brother may be done having his 10th one. Just great, and to get to sleep in the old farmhouse that I slept in when I was a kid when my great-grandparents were alive, and now my mom and dad live in the same house, and just tremendous, to go outside and the back of the place and shoot skeet and get the pistols out and shoot them, Take the smallest boy and say, "Have you ever shot a 45? Let me show you," That's so much fun. Especially when they're shooting a 45 with the long coat bullets in them, and I can barely hold the gun up. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't go that far. Just having a lot of fun. Then we took the trip. Of course, we played the traditional football game, and it's usually a tie. This year it was a tie again. I don't know how that happens. My dad's always the all-time quarterback, so I think that's how that happens. So if one of the other team is losing, he just throws more interceptions, and makes it even. Just great times. And then we went over to, there's a railroad track that runs across the Crawford Place over there on the west side. And went over, there's an old tunnel underneath the railroad tracks. It was dug there, from the beginning, probably back in the 20s. And it's neat to take the kids through and let them see it. And just great time. And I know that a lot of you had a great time. Some of you may not had such a good time as I had, but it was a great time. And to see all that food spread out. Dad cooked fried 2 turkeys this year. It's becoming evident that he may have to fry 3 next year with the crowd that we have. And then I told him, I said, and you understand that with 15 grandkids, at some point having Thanksgiving at Dad, Grandpa's house can be very, very difficult. But anyway, a lot of fun, good food. Appreciate the prayers, not only for us, but for the rest of the church family. And that the Lord would continue to bless and be with everybody today as they travel back. Got lots of people out today, as you could tell by the choir. Appreciate the choir being here, though, and singing for us and knowing that we have a lot of people out. And so good to have visitors with us this morning. We have several. We always, it's amazing to me, even today, have 9 families visiting with us. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Turn to Acts, if you would. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Sorry to take a little more introduction than normal. And just feel good this morning as well. I know many of you do. We want to preach our second sermon on our purposes. And they're up on the wall. We preached last Sunday on loving God and the purpose there. And I'll touch on that in just a moment. Today is growing together. And then I'm going to preach serving others at the first of next year. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to preach on the lost sheep, and I'm going to start through a series of 3 messages next Sunday. So I want to take you through this morning. I got the pulpit a little early. We'll see what happens. And let's go, Lord, in prayer before we read the Scripture, okay? Lord, we do thank You today for Your love. We do thank You for the good week that You gave us. Lord, many of our people are still gone. We pray that You just be in prayer, Lord, that You would just strengthen them and keep them safe. Lord, we are in prayer for them. We ask that You be with the services today. I do pray You clear my mind. Help me, Lord, to concentrate. Help me to think upon what You've given me this morning. I pray that it would be a blessing to those who come out. In Jesus' name, amen. Our purposes as a church, again, loving God, growing together and serving others, is also our purpose as individuals. As Christians, we ought to love God, we ought to grow in Christ, and we ought to serve others. And as Christians, we ought to love God, that we ought to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And absolutely, that ought to be it is the first and great commandment. And we ought to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, God should be first in our life. In fact, I'll put it this way, God must be first in our life. God is not just He is not just our Savior, but He is our Lord. He is our boss. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we became His servants. And let us never forget that we ought to love Him. And in loving Him, the first step in loving God, of course, is salvation. And I pray this morning, my hope is that each one of us in here know that we're saved. I hope this morning you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, that you'd have a home in heaven. I hope today that you know that you know that you know that your sins have been forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. That eternity is not a place that's just a dream, but that eternity is a hope, a confident expectation, knowing that Christ will return one day, and that could be today, and that He's returning for us, those who are His children, those who are saved. Salvation is the starting blocks, if you would, in the race. We also talked about in loving God that we should identify with Him, and identifying with Him, that has to do with baptism. And I hope each one of you this morning here have identified with Christ in baptism. If you haven't, the Bible says in 1 Peter that your conscience will bother you. A person who accepts Christ as Savior and does not get baptized, their conscience will bother them. And it will not stop until you follow through the Lord's command and follow Him in believers' baptism. Believers' baptism. We believe that those who are baptized must be believers first. Baptism does not save. Baptism simply identifies you with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the way, which is the gospel. Identifying with the Savior by way of baptism, by way of church membership, and then loving God through worship. In other words, it's cultivated through worship. This morning, you are cultivating the love of God in your own life. I don't know about you, but we stepped in here this morning to the service. I enjoyed shaking hands. I enjoyed the fellowship. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. But I enjoyed singing the song. I know Miss Linda said, I've heard that song, but that was a great song Miss Linda sang this morning. Man, that's great. And to collectively sing these old hymns unto the Lord, to worship Him, by way of our singing, to worship Him by way of our fellowship, to worship Him by way of our giving, to worship Him, growing together. As we think about growing together, we think about our Wednesday night messages we preached on growing in Christ, spiritual growth. Again, as we think about growing physically, the only way to grow physically is to feed oneself. Or have somebody feed you, but hopefully feed your own self. And I enjoyed, again, eating Thanksgiving. I knew we'd get around to this. I enjoy stuffing. My mom wasn't feeling well and couldn't make the stuffing she normally makes, so my wife and my sister-in-law stepped in to make it. I just want to be real honest with you. It wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. She says, I won't get any next year. That's fine. It wasn't good enough to eat. I'm just kidding. It wasn't as good as Mom made it. And we finally, I think we figured out why. We're going to fix that next year. But that's okay. I've already told her my opinion. I'm just making it public now. You know, I'm your pastor. I've tried to share without taking both my shoes off and my socks. I don't want to share too much, but enough to let you know what's going on. But we enjoy eating. And Dad made a pumpkin pie that was amazing. Just good stuff, you know. My mother-in-law, fantastic job, whatever that was I ate, but it was good. Just kidding. I was kidding on that, absolutely. No mother-in-law jokes this morning, right? But I have a terrific mother-in-law. The food was good. Well, we think about our physical bodies that have to be fed, of course, in order to grow. Again, some more than others, but grow and to maintain, you know, health. We have to eat physically. We have to supply our bodies with food. The same thing in the spiritual as well. When you accept Christ as Savior, when you become a child of God, a process begins. Now, salvation is instantaneous. But sanctification, that growing in Christ, is a process. And that process takes place as we feed ourselves spiritually and as the Lord feeds us spiritually. And we must understand that. Just as the physical body needs nutrition and nutrients in order to grow, so does the spiritual body need nutrients and sustenance in order to grow. You being here this morning is a part of that, feeding yourself spiritually. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it's the Word of God being preached that helps us to grow, as well as reading our Bibles and so forth. But we must understand that we must feed ourselves not only physically, but as well as spiritually. Growth doesn't simply happen. By the way, growth doesn't happen physically just by carrying groceries around. You can't just carry the groceries around and think, oh, this is going to help me a lot. No, it has to be eaten, right? And just because you carry a Bible around, right? Just because you have a Bible and you carry it, just because it sits on your nightstand, does not help you grow spiritually. It must be read and then it must be assimilated. This has really been one of my soapbox messages lately, and I understand that and know it. And I know I've repeated it a lot. But our education has far surpassed our application. Growing spiritually does not just have to do with reading the Bible. It has all to do with applying the Bible. We have many out there who know the Bible. I was raised in Sunday school. I've been raised in church all my life. I know a lot about the Bible. But I only believe what I apply. Does that make sense? In other words, my education far out surpasses my application. And today we have that widespread in churches today, even our church, where it seemingly seems that a lot of people in our church know the Bible, but they could care less about applying it, which means they don't believe it. We must understand that growth does not just mean carrying a Bible around or knowing spiritual garb or singing spiritual songs, that it's the assimilation and application of the Bible that is so very much important for our Christian growth. Now again, my goal as a Christian is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. My goal as a Christian is to follow in His steps. My goal as a Christian is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength, and in turn, serve Him gladly. Worship Him. Serve Him. As we think about, look with me in Acts chapter 2. We read verse 41 last Sunday, says, now remember, the context here is Peter stands up and preaches, and he preaches to this great crowd, and it says, then they that gladly received His word, that means those that got saved, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them, that's the church, about 3,000 souls. So Peter stands up, preaches to a great mixed multitude, Greeks, Hebrews, I mean, all sorts of people throughout all the world. He preaches to them, and many receive. 3,000 people receive the Word of God. They get saved. 3,000 people get baptized, and 3,000 people were added unto the church that day. What a great and wonderful day that was. But the Bible goes on and says, and they, that's the church there, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This group, this church began and continued together. What did they continue doing? They grew together. How did they grow together? How did they get closer to one another? How did they grow together? Number one, through doctrine. Sometimes this can be a dirty word in today's, in the day in which we live, but we're going to talk about it. It says, and they continued steadfastly. I looked up that word steadfastly. It means firmly, with consistency, and steadiness of mind. They continued with consistency, firmly, and steadiness of mind. I like that word, consistency. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They did it with consistency. They continued and firmly, consistently looking and teaching and applying the Word of God. Again, we look there again. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We grow through what? We grow through doctrine. God's plan is for us to continue in the apostles' doctrine. This is that truth that was once delivered to the saints. Again, delivered to the saints. Delivered to the Christians. Delivered to the apostles. Doctrine simply means teaching. Simply means body of truth. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to see this verse. And I quoted it on Heritage Day. But I want you to look at it quickly. 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 4. Paul challenging young Timothy, a young pastor. He says to young Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God. Verse 1, chapter 4, 2 Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Preach simply means to herald forth, to lift up the trumpet. That means preachers ought to get loud every once in a while. That's why every once in a while up here we get, you know, a little excited. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's popular, when it's unpopular. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, For the time when will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we use this verse a lot in this day because it definitely identifies the day in which we live. It identifies the character. It identifies the atmosphere of most, and I'm not being exaggerating at all, most churches today. The preacher's supposed to stand up. He's supposed to herald forth the Word of God. He's supposed to preach and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Listen, if a preaching does not include some doctrine, it's not preaching. It's merely whatever, motivational message, motivational speaker. Listen, I'm to herald forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm to stand in the pulpit and preach the message, the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sunday school teacher is supposed to get up and preach the doctrines of the Bible, to preach the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach it, to herald it forth. As a church, we grow together when we hear doctrine preached. We grow together when we hear the doctrine preached and we apply it together. The doctrine that was once delivered in the saints. That word sound doctrine, it says there, for the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine. That means there'll come a time when they'll not endure healthy nutrition. Healthy doctrine. I don't know about you, but I like pecan pie a lot more than I like broccoli. I like broccoli okay, too. I mean, I'll eat it. Especially if you cook it long enough for it to be just as mushy as possible. You know that sauteed stuff? You put cheese on it and butter on it. I'll eat it. I know you're laughing, but this illustration is going to work real good. Wait till you hear it. There'll come a time when they won't endure sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. Most children, there are very few exceptions. We have one that is an exception. But he's the exception. Most children would rather have chocolate cake than they would spinach are green beans. I have one that's an exception. And I still don't get it. My kid would go to a place, go to an Italian place and order salad. I don't get that, but he does. Something messed up. But he likes healthy stuff. All right? Well, good for him. I have to make myself eat healthy stuff. I do. I mean, I realize that. I eat healthy stuff on purpose. I have to. Some of you are the same way. Don't look at me that way. Really. I have to eat healthy stuff on purpose. There's some healthy stuff I like. I thought the Voorhees, Miss Voorhees was as good as anybody as I've seen about cooking healthy stuff and it being acceptable. But for the most part, you know, the unhealthy stuff is a lot more popular than the healthy stuff. I mean, overall, in general. I know there's some exceptions. And can I tell you it's the same way in the spiritual world? That unhealthy preaching, unhealthy motivational speaking is more popular than healthy preaching. You see, because preaching on doctrine, in other words, preaching the truths found in the Word of God, whether popular or unpopular, and a preacher preaches those and he reproves and he rebukes and he exhorts with those things, for the most part, are unpopular. So what's happening is that we're living in the end times, we're living in the end days. What's happening is now, this prophecy is being fulfilled in that we now have churches who are accustomed, they are accustomed to the preacher standing up and preaching a motivational message and a speech rather than getting up and preaching a doctrinal message that may or may not offend you. And that's not even the right word. That may or may not exhort you, rebuke you. Now, he should do it with long suffering, but he should do it with doctrine. Boy, let us never slack. Let us be steadfast about it, about continuing in doctrine, together in doctrine, and not allow this present age to thwart and to get us off track when it comes to Bible truth. Yes, some Bible truth. In fact, probably a lot of Bible truth will offend people. Just because it's unpopular doesn't mean we stop speaking about it. The Bible says, the Lord said we must preach the whole counsel of God. Not just preach the stuff we like. We need to preach and teach the stuff we don't like as well. Healthy doctrine. Here at Heritage, we preach healthy doctrine in Sunday school, in morning worship, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, family conferences, revival meetings, stewardship and Bible conferences, missions conferences, ladies' retreats, men's fellowships, men's campouts. How are we going to grow together? By hearing sound doctrine. By gathering around, it gives us cohesiveness, if you would. What we believe gives us cohesiveness. It ties us together as we follow Jesus and as we follow sound doctrine. What do we believe? That should be the question. And why do we believe it? And you should have the answer. Not just the preacher. It should never be, well, I believe that because the preacher said it. No. I believe it because the Bible says it. I believe it because the Bible says it. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe that precept? Why do you believe that law? Why do you believe that statute? Why do you have those principles that you have? You ought to be able to tell why. Today we have and it's just become rampant, the ecumenical movement. And then the ecumenical movement basically says that we should all come together. Why can't all the churches get along? Why can't we all just sit, get around the campfire and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. I absolutely believe the Bible says we ought to preach the truth in love. I believe the Bible makes it clear that we're not to be contentious. The Bible, the principle there is found that we can disagree without being disagreeable. I think there was a time, and especially in the Fundamental Baptist movement, where some preachers were just flat out mean. That's what I believe. Let's be mean about it, you know. I don't think we should be mean about it. I don't think we should be contentious about it. But I don't believe we should give up what we believe. And nor should we drop doctrine simply to get along with someone else. Absolutely not. And can I tell you, we must continue in sound doctrine. We must continue in the doctrine which was delivered to the saints. We must do it lovingly and kindly and not be contentious about it. But should we ever drop doctrine? The answer is no. We shouldn't drop doctrinal. We don't drop doctrinal differences so we can all get along. To drop doctrinal differences means that we drop truth. And I'm not dropping truth for anybody. I don't care who they are. And no, we at Heritage are involved in our community. We love our community. We get involved in the 4th of July parade, and we get involved in the city, and we do everything we can for our community. We love our community. But I'll never drop truth for anybody, and neither will this church. We grow together through doctrine. It's the commonality of our belief that brings us together. We believe alike. Amen. We do. Number two, we grow together not only through doctrine, we grow together through devoted fellowship with the people of God. We grow together through fellowship. It says there in Acts chapter 2, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. We all like to fellowship around here. We love it. And there's a biblical basis for it. Nearness is likeness. Nearness is likeness. As we think about, I want you to turn to one more scripture, and this will be the last one I have you turn to. Turn over to 1 John. I know this will be a difficult one to find. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Nearness is likeness. The Bible says that, the New Testament tells us that one of the characteristics of a Christian, one of the attributes of a Christian is that they'll have love for the brethren. A fellow believer, a Christian will have a love for fellow believers, children of God. It is one of the characteristics, it's one of the descriptions, if you would, of a Christian. Having love for each other. The greatest example is what we just did this last week. I got with our family, man. We enjoyed the Crawford family, enjoyed the Ryan family, being around them. And I love them. I love them. And I love being around them and fellowshipping with them. Do I totally agree with everything, with every person that was there? No. Right? Hello? We even had a few discussions. They were very little ones. But I love them. I love them. I'd do anything for them. I would. If they called, I'd do whatever I could for them. A love for the brethren. We love our families. We may not always like everybody, but we love them. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. How can we have fellowship one with another? Because we're fellowshipping with Jesus. As we fellowship with Jesus and we get close to Him, we're all close to each other. We all get closer to each other. We grow together through fellowship. Christian fellowship. The Bible speaks about iron sharpeneth iron. It's good to get around other Christians. It's good to get around in fellowship to encourage one another. To love each other, to care for one another. Sometimes to rebuke each other and exhort each other and be ye kind one to another. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Forbearing one another, all the others in the Bible. But we as Christians absolutely ought to love one another. And we ought to have fellowship one with another. I try to encourage you when we have fellowship, say, sit beside somebody you may not know as well. Get to know one another. Fellowship one with another. The Sunday school is prime for that. It's a prime example of fellowshipping with each other. You come and you join the Sunday school. Be a part of the Sunday school, which is smaller groups. And in that smaller group, you can befriend each other more so than you can in the big crowd that's out here in the auditorium. And as you befriend each other, you create friendships. People don't want to believe, they want to belong. And belonging best happens at Heritage through the Sunday school. Through the Sunday school. You want to have true fellowship that is very close. You do that through the Sunday school. I just want to encourage you. Fellowshipping. Irons are sharpeneth iron. Get around fellow believers. It'll help you. It'll encourage you. By the way, when somebody gets saved who is living out in the world, and you know, somebody who gets saved who's going to parties and clubs every Friday and Saturday night, and you know, living out in the world and doing what the world does, and they come to our church and they get saved, they accept Christ as a Savior, they better create some new friends. Or else you go right back to where you were. Right? Those friendships are so important. Fellowship is important. We grow through fellowship. We grow through breaking of bread. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, breaking of bread. And I think this has to do with fellowship. But we also can infer here, talking about the Lord's Supper, that when we come together at the Lord's table, remembering the Lord's death, remembering His body and His blood that was given for us, His body that was broken for us, His blood that was shed for us, doesn't that create within us oneness? Doesn't that create within us closeness as we come and remember our Lord's death till He comes? Absolutely it does. In fact, there in Corinthians it says, when you come together, whenever that is, and when you come together to take the Lord's Supper, there ought to be some unity there. In fact, the Bible says if you take the cup unworthily, if you have an ought against a brother and you take the cup unworthily, you endanger yourself of becoming sick and maybe even death. So there is an emphasis on unity when it comes to the Lord's Supper. That we come to the Lord's table, communion, with our hearts and our lives right with God, and our hearts and our lives right with each other. See, that'll bring closeness right there. Lastly, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. Prayers. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we as a church, when we pray together, that it gets a hold of heaven. Can I tell you that we should pray one for another? The Bible says pray one for another. The New Testament says pray one for another. As a pastor, and my habit is to take the church directory and pray through it almost every day. I can't honestly say I do it every day, but almost every day. Pray through the church directory and pray through each one of your names. As I do that, without question, it brings me closer to you and us closer to each other. For instance, as I pray through this week, tomorrow morning I get up and I pray and have my devotion, and I pray for Brother Ivy, who's in the hospital at Grapevine. Whether I remembered that from my list or I remembered as I prayed for my fellow believer, it brings me closer to the Ivies. As I pray for Rachel Irvin, it brings me closer to the Irvin family. As I pray for Morgan, it brings me closer to Morgan and the Wildman family. As I pray for my fellow believer in our church, it brings us closer together. That is amazing. I just encourage you, pray one for another. Pray together. Our Wednesday night prayer meeting isn't just so we can have a list together. It's so that we can pray together. Our Sunday afternoon prayer meeting is at 5:30 so we can pray together. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. A church that prays together stays together. I can tell you a church that prays together stays close together. Well, let us be a praying church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. This growth taking place, growing together. continuing steadfastly with consistency in Bible doctrine. Well, let us stay consistent in Bible doctrine. Know what you believe and why. Learn those things. And in fellowship, our Sunday school, just in the last couple of years, has finally got this down and understands it. That in order for a Sunday school class to grow, it's not just about visiting and teaching in the classroom, but it's as much about fellowshipping together. And those monthly fellowships are as important as anything else you do in order for classes and people and adults, kids, to fellowship together. The Lord's table, we look forward to the Lord's Supper, remembering what Christ did for us, and then praying together, growing together. Many times when I counsel couples who are going through marital problems, one of the very first things I do, and you've heard this from me before and from others, but one of the very first things I do is I draw a triangle on a piece of paper. And I draw the triangle. I put God's name at the top, one spouse's name on one side, and one spouse's name on the other side. And I tell that couple, I say, listen very closely. This is simple stuff. This will cure every marital problem you have. As Eric Crawford gets closer to God, and as Tanya Crawford gets closer to God, we get closer to each other. As one spouse and another spouse get closer to God, they get closer to each other. And can I tell you, it works in every relationship. As we get closer to God, we get closer to each other. We grow together by growing closer to God. See, you having your personal devotions impacts this church. You developing a personal relationship with God impacts the growth, spiritual growth of this church. That verse that says, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself, isn't just talking about us having bad habits in front of other people or being stumbling blocks. But you impact this church spiritually when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? We come together on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights having already had personal time with the Lord. And you talk about a difference that will take place on Sunday. If we have already been close to the Lord, it'll make us closer to each other. Love God. Grow together. Let us remember that. Let's grow together in Christ. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 534. A song, Cleanse Me. The Lord's touched your heart, you come this morning after we pray. Lord, we thank you again for the Word of God. We thank you for the sound doctrine, the truths that you have given us. We pray, Lord, we continue steadfast in those. Help us, Lord, to continue in fellowship and in praying together and breaking the bread together. Lord, we want so much to grow closer to each other. And Lord, we know that we grow closer together by growing closer to you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do this morning in Jesus' name.